Today, medical equipment has made tremendous strides to capture the makeup of our inner bodies. Yet still, there is one special part of us which remains a mystery. It is our inner being, or what we call our souls. Within us lies a space which is somewhat intangible, yet eternal. Within us, there is a spirit which our souls encapsulate, emotions such as love and passion and mercy. Within us lies the very essence of our existence. It is that special place which first captures God's attention, and it is the core of our being, which connects us to God and to one another. In the 3rd century, there was a debate between a skeptic named Celsus and the Christian leader Origen. Celsus said to Origen, "When most teachers go forth to teach, they cry, 'Come to me, you who are clean and worthy,' and they are followed by the highest caliber of people available. But your silly master cries, 'Come to me, you who are down and beaten by life.' And he accumulates around him the ragtag and bobtail of our humanity." There have been many who have believed, and perhaps still believe today, that God should only favor the best, the smartest, the brightest, the most agreeable, the most appealing. But today, as we read from 1 Samuel, we find God favoring an unimpressive candidate for king. David is one of the least qualified by human standards to be a possible consideration for leadership of Israel. When Samuel came to town and Jesse had the opportunity to parade his sons before this great prophet, Jesse didn't even think about bringing David in from the fields, because David was considered insignificant. He was the runt of the litter. He wasn't worth a second thought when it came to impressing powerful men. Even Samuel, God's prophet, is taken by surprise. And we are told that Samuel saw Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord." Samuel thought to himself, "Eliab is tall, he's handsome, he has the manner and the bearing of a great leader. He looks good on the outside." But God says to Samuel, "Don't be fooled by what is on the outside. Don't be deceived by appearances." Yet still, even today, a lot of us judge by what we see on the outside and not by what is shared from within the heart. Often we reinforce the importance of physical appearances rather than focusing on the resources which enable us and others to become a cohesive community. David's anointing as king of Israel reveals to us that God doesn't make decisions based upon the same factors we may seem important or relevant. God does not view things from our horizontal perspective, but God focuses on the heart and evaluates from that point of view. God has his own standard, and those whom God chooses, God equips, God prepares, God sends, and God instructs. As God called upon each of us to serve in various capacities, it is not up to us to place obstacles in the way or to be maybe like I did for a while, to run from our callings. Instead, we must be faithful and responsive to God. And we know Moses tried running, and that didn't work out so well for him either. David was perhaps not Samuel's first choice, but God spoke these words to David: "This is the one. Anoint him." God's selection of David was not based upon simply his complexion or his lovely eyes. God selected David because of his heart and because of his obedience. When I was a young girl, the first room in our home, or the front room, was reserved for guests. It was not the everyday room of the house, but it was the room where company was entertained and where we were on our very best behavior. The front room was where our manners were practiced, that is, if we were allowed to join in with the adults. And once our guests would leave, we would retreat back into the family room, where we actually lived, played, and watched television. The pretenses of the front room was abandoned in the family room, and this was a room which was well lived in. It was where you would find coloring books and crayons scattered across the floor. It is where dolls and cars were placed on the coffee table, and where you would find chips and candy wrappers between the sofa cushions. It was where my dad's pipe and tobacco could always be found. The family room was the room in which you could tell who we were. It was where we let down our hair and became true to ourselves and to others by our thoughts and our words and our deeds. It was where you could see love abiding and in action. Our reading from Samuel shows us that often we have a public face, which may include some expression of spirituality, but we also have a private face, which is the expression of who and what we really are deep within the core of our souls. We are not told in Samuel what it fully means for David to have a heart for God, but we can assume that deep inside, David loved God with all of his heart, with all of his mind, with all of his soul and strength. At the very core of David's being had to be a deep devotion to God. And this means he thought about God, he talked to God, and he noticed God's activity throughout the day as he watched the sheep in the fields. David wanted to know God's word and God's will. David wanted to obey God in all of his deeds and all of his actions. And this is why God chose David. I can only imagine the face of David's brothers as they probably stood in amazement and wondered, why wasn't I chosen? What on earth makes David so special? Centuries forward, perhaps the very same question remains within our thoughts. Why aren't we chosen to be the team leader, the head of the altar guild, the lead vocalist, the head usher? Why were we not chosen to attend certain groups and organizations? What makes the others so special? My brothers and sisters in Christ, the answer is the same today as it was then. God looks at the heart to choose who he will call and where he will send his chosen to serve. And it never means that we are not good enough. It is just how God works to create divine order. For us, in our humanity, we look at the surface. We look at what we think we see and not what we know to be true. But thank goodness for the grace and love of God that only what is in our hearts is reflected in our actions. And those are the things that truly matter to God. Perhaps today some of us still have questions that focus on outwardly expressions. And perhaps we may also ask, when chosen for a task, why would God call me to witness to others, to teach a Bible study class, or to be called to care for the sick? I don't know all of the answers, or really any of the answers, to God's calling and God's choosing. But the one thing I do know is that God's plans are not the plans of the world. It is only God who is in control of where he sends, why he sends, and whom he sends. If we recall from our passage, God sent Samuel to Bethlehem, a village about 6 miles from Jerusalem, which means house of bread. And it was related to the fact that the fields were fertile. As God so often does, there is a message even in the name of the village. Bethlehem signified not only that the fields around the village were fertile enough to feed many, but that from that little town of Bethlehem, God would later send the promised child who would be able to satisfy the spiritual hunger of all who would believe. God would send Jesus, the son of a carpenter. The choice of this small village shows us how God uses small, insignificant people and places and things to confound the wise of the world. And not only does God use them, God qualifies them as well. Saul's sin and rebellion did not catch God off guard, nor were his weaknesses a surprise to God, just as David's weaknesses would not be a surprise today. God was not sending Samuel to Bethlehem in order to anoint a perfect person to be king, but he was sending him to anoint his chosen to be king. David was God's choice, and his anointing as king of Israel reveals to us that God doesn't make decisions based on the same factors humans may deem important. It is through David's early life that we are taught that God is constantly looking for women and men who are faithful in small things, thankful in all things, and are truthful and transparent before God and the world. Today, God is still looking for those who trust and obey his word. And if you feel, as I often do, that God cannot use you because of your weaknesses, there is good news for us today. Because God uses our weaknesses in miraculous ways. You see, it is through our weaknesses which make us more dependent on God and prayerful. It is within our weaknesses where we are kept from becoming arrogant and proud. It is within our weaknesses where we realize our need for other people and for fellowship. It is within our weaknesses where we are made more sympathetic and effective in ministry to others. It is always God's intent and desire to use us, because it was God who chose us before we chose him. It was God who first loved us before we loved God. And it is God who first convicts us and calls us to himself. God's activity in the world will reveal to each of us our earthly tasks, but in God's time and not our own. May we remember David today. God took the boy everyone ignored, the boy who worked in the shepherd's field, the most unlikely choice among his brothers, and made a king out of him. May we consistently strive to be ready and open to being chosen and called. God has seen each of our hearts and souls and knows exactly where we each fit in his plan. God is still calling the faithful and still professes to each of us today, we are the ones. We are the chosen. We are the anointed. Amen.